week's Northern from Adam podcast, where we are going to be joined by arguably the hottest wide receiver in all of football, Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Robert Woods, who so far this year is averaging 69 receiving yards per game, but the last 2 weeks has just lit it up with 171 receiving yards last Sunday against the Texans, the most by any Rams player in a game since Torrey Holt had 200 receiving yards in 2003 against the 49ers. Woods has the most receiving yards in the NFL the last 2 weeks, 241. He's been on fire, and we're going to get to Robert Woods in a moment. But first, we're going to try out a new feature on the Know Them From Adam podcast, which gives you, the listener, an opportunity to send in your questions via Twitter to have me answer as many questions as we can. We're hoping that you like it. We think it'll be insightful, entertaining, and all kinds of fun. So let's give that a roll this week, and we're going to bring in my producer, Josh Macri, to ask the questions that have been sent in from the various people, and we'll take it from there. Josh, you there?
Ask Adam.
Ask Adam.
Ask Adam.
Ask Adam.
Ask Adam. We should ask Adam.
I am here, Adam, and I'm looking forward to this segment. I think it'll be good. It'll give people an opportunity to pick your brain a little bit, get to know what you know about what's going on in the NFL, and get to know you as well, because all these questions don't just have to be about football, Adam. So what do you say?
Josh, where'd that music come from? I didn't even know that was going to come on.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Absolutely. They pay me to do some things around here, Adam.
That was so, very impressive.
Exactly.
Surprising and impressive, both.
Well, let's get to it then. Our first question comes from John Gowan, at JTGowan77. He tweeted at us and asked, is there any chance that the Broncos are going to move on from Vance Joseph after this season?
I don't see that happening. Look, they had a chance last year to go after Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, some of the hotter names out there. They chose Vance Joseph for a reason, and it's not Vance Joseph's fault that the quarterbacks he was left with basically have struggled this season and been inconsistent. So to me, they hired Vance Joseph for his leadership skills because he's a leader of men. They're going to have to stick with that for another year to see how that goes. He deserves that opportunity. But again, he's going to be on the clock starting next year, I believe.
Well, you talked about the quarterbacks that Vance Joseph was left with. That leads us to this question from Brian. He's at FH Brian. He uses the hashtag AskAdam to ask, when would you consider Paxton Lynch a bust?
Look, I got to be honest. I didn't have a great feeling about him when they drafted him from that very moment. There's certain intangibles that a quarterback must present and must bring to the table. There's a certain presence. And maybe Paxton Lynch will grow into that one day. But when they drafted him, he was a long ways away from being the type of leader that you need at the quarterback position. There's no question the guy's got the arm talent, and the hope is still that he will grow into that and will become a great quarterback. But again, I think it was going to take time. When you spoke to general managers around the league, that was the one thing they said. It would take a lot of time for Paxton Lynch, and it's really entertaining to think about today, Josh. The Dallas Cowboys were desperate to trade up for Paxton Lynch, didn't get it done, and ultimately had to sit where they were, and then tried to trade up for Connor Cook, and didn't get him, and then were forced to settle for a guy by the name of Dak Prescott.
Yeah, how'd that work out for him?
Pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Adam, anyone who knows you knows that you, of course, are a Michigan man.
Yep.
Which leads us to this question from Richard Schumacher, at RW Schumacher. Richard says, in your opinion, what's the chance that Jim Harbaugh leaves the Wolverines for the NFL anytime soon? And do you grow tired of everyone putting him in line for every single NFL opening?
Look, that's part of the deal with Jim Harbaugh. It always comes with the territory. His name always comes up in connection to other openings. It's happened wherever he has been, be it San Diego State or Stanford or the 49ers or now the University of Michigan. It's just the kind of thing that seems to follow him. Now, I will say this, that his history shows that he has wanderlust, that he stays at a certain place and then moves on. I do think that he's got a tremendous affection and affinity for the University of Michigan, as all of us who have attended the school do. And I do think that he has a certain sense of commitment and loyalty to the school. Saying that, I think, you know, listen, to me, he's always going to be open-minded. And if there's a team out there, a la the Chicago Bears, a la the Indianapolis Colts, that comes along that presents a great opportunity, which is what I think it would take for him to leave Michigan. If there's a school, organization out there that poses a great opportunity, and by that I mean great ownership, great stability, great incentive financially, great quarterback, then I think perhaps they might be able to get him to listen. But if it's not an ideal situation, then I don't even think he bothers, because I think he's very content and happy at Michigan. I'm not going to tell you he's a Michigan lifer forever. I think we'd all like to see him be there forever. But I do think that if there's a team out there, like the Bears or the Colts, that comes at him and makes it appealing enough, maybe they could get him to listen. We will see, Josh.
We will. Let's stick with this coaching theme here. We've got this question from Ollie Reeb. Ollie is at Ollie Reeb, uses the hashtag AskAdam to say, is the Rams' success this season a testament to Sean McVay being a really good coach or to Jeff Fisher being a really bad one?
Well, Ollie, I appreciate the question. I'm a glass half full kind of guy. Look, Jeff Fisher made his mark in this league. I know that people at the end had grown weary of his coaching out in Los Angeles. But the fact of the matter is he had a great track record. And he was a defensive-minded coach. What the Rams did is they went out and they brought in a younger offensive-minded coach. And we've all seen the results of Sean McVay. On Monday's NFL Live, we were having a debate about whether or not Sean McVay has been the single best coaching hire of the past decade. That tells you how good he has been. Whether or not he is or he isn't, that tells you how successful Sean McVay has been. And I think you put him up there with Pete Carroll, Andy Reid, some of the great hires over the last 10 years, including Mike Tomlin. But the fact of the matter is Sean McVay has made a huge difference out in L.A. He has shown that coaching matters. I think we learned that from him over time, that coaching matters.
Yeah, and Adam, we will certainly ask Robert Woods about the impact that Sean McVay has had when we speak to him in a few minutes. But before we do that, let's get a couple more of these questions in.
By the way, Josh, let me cut you off there. I love the question, so let's bring in as many as we can before we get to Robert Woods.
Absolutely, absolutely. This one might be the most important one you answered thus far. It's a two-part question. Both are equally important, from Timmy G. Timmy is at Occupado333. A, what is your favorite type of cereal, Adam? Huh. B, who are your favorite midseason Super Bowl picks?
Well, you know, it's funny. Last night I got home from work, got home about 10:30, and I was starving because I usually don't get to eat dinner on Monday nights. Came home and had two giant bowls of Cheerios with milk. That was my snack when I got home.
Just plain Cheerios.
Just plain Cheerios. Love them. I mean, that's...
You don't spring for the Honey Nut or the Frosted?
Yeah, you know, I like Honey Nut Cheerios. I like them a lot, but I something about... I'm a plain kind of guy, Josh. Like, when I have my French toast and pancakes, my wife laughs at me. I have nothing on them. No butter, no syrup, no whipped cream, no nothing. Like, I just bring it to me plain. I have Cheerios and milk. I like that. And I also like some Kashi cereals. Kashi, I think, is excellent. But Cheerios, I think, would be my go-to cereal, although every now and then... I could try this. I'll tell you what else I like. Yeah. Chex on the plane. Like, sometimes you're flying and they bring you Chex. I love Chex.
Right.
Rice Chex.
Just the plain rice. You don't go for the mix that has, like, little breadsticks in it and the pretzels and stuff.
Yeah, I don't think I'd do that. You know, like I said, some of the Kashi cereal is really good. So, now, as for my midseason Super Bowl picks, look, the NFC looks loaded right now, right? Like, you could make an argument for the Philadelphia Eagles, for the New Orleans Saints, for the Los Angeles Rams, for the Seattle Seahawks, for the Carolina Panthers, for the Minnesota Vikings even. I mean, there are a lot of good teams in the NFC right now. If I was going to pick one, I think I probably would go with the Philadelphia Eagles if they can lock up home field advantage. But I'll tell you what, the Saints have been really impressive, and the Rams are playing a different brand of football right now. I like all these teams. I think they're all really good, really dangerous. In the AFC, I mean, it's hard to think that it wouldn't come down to a New England-Pittsburgh AFC Championship game, and I think both teams are great, and depending on where that game is, that might dictate who goes to the Super Bowl.
Missing the Chiefs?
Right now it seems like they have lost a little luster, although Andy Reid is potent coming off a bye. No coach is better coming off a bye than Andy Reid. Keep that in mind when the Chiefs play the Giants on Sunday. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Patriots and Steelers, because you can never go wrong with them, right?
That is true. That is the safe answer, just like eating plain Cheerios is the safe thing to do.
And plain French toast and plain pancakes.
I'm sensing a theme here. Well, you did mention the Saints as a possibility to come out of the NFC, a strong possibility to come out of the NFC. Corey J. Olivier, at Corey Olivier, wants to know, do you think that Kamara and Lattimore could each win Rookie of the Year honors?
Listen, I think that Alvin Kamara is a guy on my fantasy team, is somebody that I love. And Marshawn Lattimore has been a shutdown corner. I don't think there's been a better defensive rookie than Marshawn Lattimore, and I don't think there's been a better offensive rookie than Alvin Kamara. And I even mean Kareem Hunt. And by the way, I go back and forth on the pronunciation of Camara. He was in Bristol, and we went over this, and he said it's Camara, like the car Camaro,
right.
But Camara. But sometimes I slip back and go Camara.
Yeah.
And he said they're both right, actually, but he prefers Camara.
Old habits die hard.
Right? It's not easy, but both those guys have been incredible. And the Saints draft class, I think, has made a huge difference in what they've done this year. I think it has elevated that team from basically a middle-of-the-pack team to somewhere where they are now a viable Super Bowl contender.
Well, you mentioned the rookie class in New Orleans, Adam, but yeah. Elsewhere in the league, Brandon M. Keebler at Brandon Keebler wants to know, who are some rookies that have actually been overlooked so far this year, in your opinion?
Wow. I think that first guy that comes to mind is Tre'Davious White, the Buffalo Bills cornerback, who's done a really nice job, although the Bills' defense has really begun to slip in recent days. The Jets' safeties, Adams and Moy, have been fantastic, and I think they've been a foundation, will be a foundation for that defense for years to come. I think Reuben Foster out in San Francisco has the makings to be a Pro Bowl linebacker, which is exactly what the 49ers thought they were getting when they picked him. Those are some of the guys just off the top of my head, Josh, when you ask that question, that come to mind in terms of defensive rookies.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Yep.
Fair enough. So earlier, Adam, obviously we established that you don't like syrup. You don't like any sort of sugar on your cereals.
No, no.
But what about condiments in general? Are you a condiment guy?
No, you know, I'm not a big condiment guy. In fact, when I stay in Bristol, Josh, I go back to the hotel on Sunday nights a lot of times, and I wind up ordering a turkey burger.
Okay.
And what I get on that turkey burger, when I call in, no lettuce, no tomato, no ketchup, no mustard. Just give me a fried egg. Give me a fried egg on that turkey burger.
I can't argue with that.
And I would do that on a hamburger or cheeseburger as well. You put an egg on it, oh, man. That is how to do it.
That's very good, although it ruins this question from Shaw O'Plenty at Shaw3SP. He wants to know if you keep your ketchup in the fridge or not, but it sounds like you don't even use ketchup. So I don't.
My wife does. My wife keeps ketchup in the fridge. Yeah, okay. She does. Peanut butter in the cabinet, ketchup in the fridge. I'm not a big condiment guy. I'm just really not. I'll use ketchup if I want to just add a little bit of flavor to something that I don't really feel that excited about eating.
Well, you're not a condiment guy, but are you a dark meat or a white meat turkey guy? At TXJosh86 wants to know, with Thanksgiving right around the corner.
I white meat kind of guy. Like that better. As a kid, I liked dark meat. But look, my rule of eating in the house, Josh, you'll come to know, the listeners will come to know, my wife knows this well, no bones, no fat. As long as there's no bones, no fat, I'll eat anything. I don't really care. You want to put red meat on the table? No bones, no fat. Chicken? No bones, no fat. My mother-in-law makes fun of me because she likes to cook chicken on the bone. I'm like, I'm not going to eat that. I'll have all the broccoli and the string beans and the french fries and the mashed potatoes, but I'm not going to eat stuff with bones and fat. Just don't like it.
That's ridiculous. Well, we appreciate everyone who tweeted in using the hashtag AskAdam to get these questions in, and which leads us to this last question.
Do we get to hear music one more time?
Well, we can hear that. I don't have an outro for this.
Okay.
I do have that great intro again, though.
Yep.
Ask Adam.
Ask Adam.
Ask Adam.
Ask Adam.
Ask Adam. We should ask Adam.
We should ask Adam. And Adam, did you recognize that first voice there?
No, who was it?
I'll give you one more shot. Really listen.
Good.
Ask Adam.
Ask Adam.
Daniel Dopp?
No.
Who?
One more.
Ask Adam.
Future Hall of Famer Randy Moss. I got him to participate.
Oh, so, that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Daniel Dopp, not even close.
No,
that's embarrassing, Josh.
He's not a future Hall of Famer.
No, he might be. He might be, but I cannot believe that I confused Daniel Dopp. And now that you say Randy Moss, the great Randy Moss, I should have recognized that right away, and I'm disappointed.
He's got that West Virginia twang, man.
Oh, no, no. Randy's got a very distinctive voice. He's a great guy to work with, a great teammate. I love him. But that is something that we'll have to get him on the podcast at some point, by the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But let's wrap up.
Are there any other voices there that I would recognize?
No, okay. No, there aren't.
Like one's your sister or whatever it may be?
No other famous voices, but I'm glad that we got that one in, which leads us to this last question from John Paul at John Paul AMDG. Adam, how much of your day is spent on Twitter either reading it or tweeting yourself?
That's a good question, John Paul. I honestly don't spend that much time on there, believe it or not. It's sort of like something to do when I'm bored and don't have a lot going on, and I don't have as many down moments in my life as I'd like. But when I do, like tonight, I have to go to a charity function in New York City. If there's some idle moments at the table, I may look down just to check things. But I really don't do that much. I'm not one of those guys who lives on Twitter, who's constantly on there. It's just not something that I regularly do. I feel like I work closely with Twitter to a certain extent, but I don't feel like I'm one of these guys who's constantly on there.
It's a partner in crime.
I guess it is. Yeah. It's a 24/7 partner in crime, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think this was a successful segment, Adam. We'll keep it going next week. Everyone, just remember to use the hashtag AskAdam to ask your questions to us, both football and otherwise.
And that wraps up our first Ask Adam segment. I'd like to thank thanks to my producer, Josh. It's a big success and look forward to doing that in the future.
Hey, listen up. You need someone to take you on a deep dive into all things NFL? It's Dominic Foxworth from The Nickel Package, a daily podcast about football where you can get different perspectives each day of the week from different hosts. Find The Nickel Package on the ESPN app and wherever you listen to podcasts.
And now we turn our attention back to our guest this week on the Northern From Adam podcast, the Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Robert Woods, who over the last 2 weeks has caught 4 touchdown passes. He's caught 12 passes for 241 yards and 4 touchdowns. Those are 2 pretty productive weeks. And now, Robert Woods. So what has been better for you, Robert, to be back in L.A., to be in playoff contention, or to be producing at the level you have when you've been the hottest wide receiver in the NFL the last 2 weeks?
I would say this team winning games, and we're on a 4-game win streak. I know a lot of us haven't been on a win streak like this, but just the focus of the team and just how we're locked in and focused and keep winning games and we're having fun out on the field, I would say that's the biggest thing about this year that stood out so much.
Robert, coming into the season, there were not a lot of people who held the Rams in high regard. When did you think that this team had the chance to be what it has been so far?
I don't know which game, but we still, you know, ask each other sometimes, like, you know, are we good, or do we just, you know, hit a win streak or something like that? But we know the NFL is very competitive each and every week. So, I mean, you can't enjoy it too long because you have to get in and focus for our next opponent, just like the Vikings coming up. We're on a 4-game win streak, but, you know, we got a tough opponent and it could be snapped at any time, you know, if we, you know, focus on the big highs of the season and not stay focused.
But let's be honest, did you expect this at this point in the season when you were in training camp?
No, I mean, we knew we had a young, competitive team. We got the addition of Sammy Watkins later on, and we knew that would help our team. But we knew we'd win games. We knew we'd have, you know, good offense, good defense. But, you know, to be the NFL's, you know, leading scoring, we're putting up points. This offense is doing a really, really tremendous job so far. But we just got to just keep it rolling. But the success is early on, and we just got to keep it going. We're a young team and can't get too high on it.
How strange and enjoyable has that been for you, playing with Sammy in Buffalo? You come and sign with the Rams as a free agent. He gets traded to the Rams in August. Nobody ever could have envisioned that scenario occurring. How odd and unusual is that for you?
No, it's great. You know, it's exciting. You know, when I seen the trade, I actually thought it was like fake news. Like, there's no way. But, you know, welcome the addition to Sammy. I know he'll help our team, and he's been lights out for us so far. You know, had a touchdown to spring us up again in this past game with work out in front of him. So, welcome Sammy. You know, we know what he could do here. We know he's a weapon. But this team is loaded and stacked with players. So we just got to keep it going. We just got to keep winning and keep this offense high-powered.
Robert, one of those players is Jared Goff, your quarterback. And again, like your team, he came into the season with questions and doubts. What is it about him that has stood out most to you?
That he never let those questions and those doubts get to him. He's always been confident. He always believed in himself. And so did McVay. And he just showed his leadership and his toughness where he was able to, you know, have this type of season. You know, he didn't let any as a hater, their doubters get to him, and he's showing this season why he was the number one pick, and he's leading his offense, and he's playing well beyond his years, not like a second-year quarterback.
You talk about well beyond your years. How about your head coach, the youngest head coach in NFL history? What is it about him that distinguishes him as a head coach?
His creativity, his connection with his players. His team is very in tune. He's able to speak to as well where we understand him. And this offense is complicated, but yet very simple. But, you know, he understands the team. And he's able to connect with us. He's able to spring his offense and get us going. And he's young. A lot of people, you know, say, well, he is the youngest head coach in football, but a lot of people say, you know, he's young. What can he do? First-year coach. And he's in nothing but just turning his team around and just everybody's believing in the system. It's we, not me. And we bought in, and it shows. It shows on Sundays.
Robert, when you knew you were coming to play for Sean McVay and you knew that he was 31 years old, what was going on in your mind? What was your thought at that time about playing for a coach who was so young and so unproven?
He was very young, but that never stepped into my mind. And unproven, I would say, I would doubt that because coming from a place of Washington where they had a successful offense, high passing offense, had a few thousand-yard receivers. So you know what he's done in the passing game, and with him coming over to Los Angeles, looking for receivers, you know, to just let go of, you know, Kenny Britt, who's a 1,000-yard receiver. So you know he was able to get things going in the passing game. We got young Jared Goff. So you know he's going to get that activated here, and I saw that potential here in L.A. And Jared and Sean McVay, you know, pretty much stood true to what I saw in the offseason.
What has been the biggest difference in your game these past 2 weeks?
Just timing, you know, it's been working out. We've been seeing the right looks, running the right routes, and Jared's been having the time up front. They've been protecting him, and all he has to do is stand tall, and he always puts the ball right out the front for you. And he makes my job easier. I'm just out there running around and just catching the ball when Jared puts on the money like that.
You ever have two back-to-back weeks like that with 12 catches, 241 yards, 4 touchdowns?
No, as we were actually saying, you know, the touchdown child was waiting to get my touchdown, and my coach always saying, you know, when they come in bunches. And back-to-back games, the 2 touchdowns, you know, so like it's pretty big. I haven't had that in my career, but it's still early in the season, but it's good to get that game out early and keep it going.
Robert, I'll tell you a funny story, and you may have heard this from other people. I'm sure I'm not alone this week, but 2 weeks ago, I'm doing some research into the Rams and what's going on at the wide receiver position. And on my fantasy football team, I was looking for another wide receiver. And I said, hold on a second. Robert Woods is leading the Rams in targets, has got more targets than anyone else on the highest scoring team in the league. And yet there you are on the waiver wire in fantasy football. So 2 weeks ago, I picked you up. You hadn't scored a touchdown yet. And I put you in my starting lineup. And you came through in that game to start off the bat against the Giants, 4 catches, 70 yards, 2 touchdowns. I'm like, that's awesome. Let's go back to Robert again. This past week, 8 catches, 171 yards, 2 more touchdowns against the Texans. So I and other people who have put you on their roster the last 2 weeks or last week want to personally thank you for what you have done. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how much people in the fantasy football have appreciated your contributions here the last 2 weeks? Has anybody other than me said something to you about it?
For sure. You know, when you have Twitter and social media, Instagram, it's been blowing up with fantasy football stuff. A lot of people saying thank you. So it was a big win for a lot of people these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, I want to think that you know, Jared Goff contributed to it, Sean McVay contributed to it, but I'd like to think that since I picked you up, you've had 4 touchdowns in 2 weeks, so I want to think that I have some small indirect role as well with the good karma that I've sent you.
Hey, I hope so. You know, if it comes with 2 touchdowns, I'll take it every time.
You know, and the other funny thing is, I don't know if you ever watched CNBC, Mad Money, Jim Cramer. You ever watched that show with him?
No, I've seen it before.
Well, Jim Cramer is a friend of mine, and every year he comes up to ESPN, And he's a huge fantasy football player. And on Sunday, he was up there. We're sitting together. And you get the ball back deep in your own territory, pinned all the way back. He knows I have you on my team at that particular moment. He goes, we're calling it right now. And I said, yup, here comes the longest play in Rams history. He says, touchdown to Robert Woods. And I swear to you, on the very next play, there it was.
Goff is under center, no huddle. Again, turns left shoulder. This time, play action from his own end zone. He winds up and deals down the middle. At the 50, it's hauled in Robert Woods. He's behind everybody. 10-5, touchdown, Robert Woods.
So, again, I want to just point out all this karma that we've done our best to actually try to send your way.
Hey, I appreciate it. All the good karma here being in L.A., all the good vibes, and I feel it, and it's much appreciated.
You talk about L.A. What's the difference playing in front of that fan base compared to the rabid fan base in Buffalo?
I mean, we're still trying to get our fan base rolling, our identity, but it's definitely there, especially the last home game. Hearing the crowd chant Rams house, hearing them loud on third downs, able to jump into the crowd this past Sunday, you know, I feel like those things are getting this costume going. We're high scoring offense, finally had a high scoring game at home. So we know this L.A. atmosphere, what it's all about, you know, playing here in college, you know, 10 times 10 with the NFL team. But we're just trying to get this thing rocking and pack it out. You know, we got 90,000 seats to fill.
Yep.
I think we're close to about 60 right now. But if we could get 30,000 more in there and keep winning these games, it would be a great place to play in, and it is as of right now.
I promise you, if you keep winning, I promise you that will happen. But I was going to ask you, with you having played at USC, what's the difference between playing in Los Angeles at USC compared to playing in Los Angeles for the Rams?
You know, I want to say I don't know yet, just because of, you know, playing the daytime games at USC or playing the daytime games at the Rams. I'm waiting to see a nighttime, primetime Rams night game at the Coliseum. I think that'll be a big dictation of what this team and what this Coliseum is about. Playing a primetime night game at the Coliseum.
You know, Robert, this is where the Rams' schedule gets really interesting. I know that players and teams take it one game at a time, but we in the media don't always do that, right? So if you'll indulge me for a moment, you play this week at Minnesota, home for New Orleans, at a division rival Arizona, home for Philadelphia, at Seattle. So the next five games, we're going to get a real good read of how good this Rams team actually is with some of those tests. And we talk about the home games in L.A., the next two home games in Los Angeles, the Saints and the Eagles, two teams you are vying with to be arguably the best team in the NFC right now. Do you think at all outside of this one week, or are you just focused in on the Vikings this Sunday?
No, we're focused on the Vikings this Sunday. And, of course, you see teams in highlights. You're doing well. You know, you see the Eagles doing well. See the Saints. I think they won 7 in a row. Vikings doing well. So you see these teams always on the highlights and on the tickers. You know, we always lock in. You know, this week is all about the Vikings. You know, they're a great team. As I said, you know, we see their highlights on TV.
Yep.
But it's going to be a competitive game. It's going to be a competitive few weeks. It's going to be very physical, as it has to be. It has to be a win. We have to find a way to focus on Minnesota and get this win on the road.
Robert, last thing for me before I let you go on, I want to thank you again for the time that you've given us today here on the Northern from Adam podcast. But I do need to ask you, how many more touchdowns do you have for me this year? You got a ballpark figure for me in mind?
I don't know. I think my career high is either 5 or 6. I'm right there early in the season. So who knows what's coming? You know, having a good year, having Jared slinging the ball around. And with this offense, who knows? It's a high-scoring offense. Who knows what's coming?
So this is sustainable, is it not?
It is. I would say so. I think you know, having a game like that, you know, having the confidence, able to catch the ball and make some plays on the ground. I think this past few weeks, I think is, you know, just what comes. We got to see the defenses, find the holes, and find ways to expose them on Sunday. I think it's possible to keep these plays going and keep this offense, like I said, high scoring, keep it in the 30s.
When you do score 4 touchdowns in 2 weeks, are you more apt and confident to believe I can just go do this again this upcoming Sunday?
Yeah, I'm finding that ball. I'm catching. I'm looking for the end zone. You know, able to get some these past few weeks, you know, getting hungry for him. I enjoy being in the end zone. And, you know, it's fun celebrating with teammates in the end zone.
Hey, Robert, thanks again. Good luck against the Vikings. I will continue to do my best to send good karma your way, and I appreciate you sending me the good fantasy results.
Thanks, Sam.
The highlight you heard earlier comes courtesy of ESPN LA 710.